Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Our brother Wayne Pitts will be conducting our second service at 2 p.m. at Pacific Hills Manor this afternoon, and all are invited to participate in that service. At 3 p.m., our brother Greg Tomlinson will be teaching the class on church history. And at 4 p.m., Pastor Otero will be continuing our study of wisdom and truths that do not change over the centuries in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In our evening worship service at 5 p.m., today we will be blessed with the beautiful, God-glorifying music of the choir, Salt and Light. And we look forward to that presentation at 5 p.m. today. At our Wednesday evening prayer service, Pastor Otero will be leading our study on the theology of Bible doctrine, and he will be teaching on what the Scriptures teach about the loving kindness of God. We just want to announce that on Sunday, November 17th, directly following our worship service, there will be a congregational business meeting. Our scripture reading for today, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. We will now be singing the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning. So let us begin our worship now with hymn number 36, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. Let us continue our worship now with hymn number 126, Rock of Ages.
Thank you.
Please stand now as we sing hymn number 272, The Solid Rock.
To the Lord in prayer this morning together as a congregation. Our Heavenly Father, we come into Thy presence in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And we are grateful that You allow us once again to open the doors of Bethel Baptist Church, to open the doors of the airways and KKNC, and the doors of the internet ministry, and the doors of the CD and tape ministry to broadcast the only thing we know, the Word of the Living God. And Father, we pray that Your grace and mercy be placed upon those who listen, so that they may understand really, truly, who Jesus really is. We thank You, Lord, that we have Thy Word. And we thank You, Lord, that we have the opportunity to share Thy Word in such a very extensive way over the airways and over the internet. And first and most, we are grateful for KKMC and for their management and their collaboration with us. We're also grateful for those who are able to listen in the internet and those who send us emails and letters telling us how the Word of God has blessed their heart. But we have come here this morning, Lord, to worship, to say great things about the name of God, to express our heartfelt to a God who has saved us from hell, to a God who has rescued us from the ignorance of sin, to a God who wakes us up when we were dead and trespasses and sin. And as we already have few songs, we want to continue to sing through the choir, and we want to read Thy Word, that Thy Word be a blessing to our life. And most of anything else, we are grateful also for the extended ministry of the church through missionaries. And we are grateful for Fred and Carol Lewis in Siberia with 10 degrees below zero. We are grateful for Carol and Ruth Knott now in Sevilla, Spain. We are grateful for Eusebio and Maritza Perez in Benalmadena, Spain. We are grateful for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light in the midst of darkness, right here in Morgan Hill and Gilroy. For Ruben and Irene Zagert, all the way in Lodi, California. For Daniel Lacey, now have fulfilled all his obligations for this year on the motor race ministry, and now he's going to start the raising of his salary. And Lord, you're going to put him to a test, and many churches he's planning to visit. But Father, you're going to support him according to Your will. And we are delighted to see what a God, a mighty God, can do in his life. We pray also for Martha Peretti as she is in a very troubled and difficult country, continually a blessing into the drug addicts ministry. And Father, for the sport ministry in San Jose. We pray that your blessings be upon this wonderful place who get people to get around soccer, around a sport that is very familiar to me, that then, Lord, the presence of Christ and the counsel of Christ is shared with them. Thank you, Father, that you gave us this opportunity to share the gospel. And Father, we have few families in the church, six, and some others with difficulties. And we pray with for Victor Laurel, who is away from us because his aunt passed away. May the comfort of the scripture, may the witness of Victor enlighten the heart of many as they are sharing together this very difficult moment in their life. And Lord, you are our God who provides continually for our ministries and provides for our needs. And so we are grateful for the offering and grateful for the giver. And especially because through 20 years of ministry, you always, oh God, provide for us. We thank you. We pray for complete blessings upon our meeting today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Lofty place.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 572. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Matthew, chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence with thanksgiving and we can bring our petitions before you. Because of your gracious loving kindness, we thank you that you loved us while we were yet sinners and sent the Lord Jesus Christ to pay the penalty due us for our sins and to die for us. We thank you that now we know you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that through believing your word, we also know with believing Peter that Jesus is your Son, the Christ. We thank you for the gift of faith. We pray now for your servant and our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to teach this great passage of Scripture. We pray for understanding, and if there are any here or listening on the radio and internet who may yet be in unbelief, that they may believe your word and pass from death to life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated.
Josh, before we address ourselves this morning, in our new series of studies on the gift of God, and today the gift of God has given us Jesus as a rock, I just want to let you know that tonight we're going to have a great privilege to hear a great choir, a very humble choir, but very powerful. I use it every week in my car as we produce a CD here. And from a nation that is very dear to my heart. Most of the people are from Korea. Is that right? All of them? Yes. All of them are from Korea. And we have some Korea's friends here. And I hope you are here tonight. And we're going to have some refreshment. And Pastor's going to speak on an old sermon that I did in 1984. I did a series on psychology. And studying as a psychologist in my old profession, studying people in the Bible. And I did 10 sermons, observing 10 peoples in the Bible and bringing that psychological syndromes into our life and by comparison. And tonight I'm going to give you the comparison on Jacob, Jacob's syndrome. Many of you know how rascal was he and how terrible he was. Nevertheless, when the Bible talks about our fathers, talk about Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac. And if you study as a psychologist the life of Jacob, you'd be scared to death to be near to that man, all right? But when God changed somebody, makes all the difference of the world. And so we're going to study as a psychologist what we see, and then look into the person and see what we see as a Christian, all right? So I hope that you are able to come tonight and to call some friends, because listening to this Korean choir brings your heart way close to God, and I hope that that happened to you as happened to me. Please look in your Bible at Matthew's chapter 16 this morning, a very well-known passage. Our text is going to be centered on verse 18. Matthew's chapter 16, as our brother read, and our text is going to be centered at verse 18. You have to bear with me. I went to a pulmonary doctor and gave me some medicine. Could cause me more cough, but it's okay. I'm going to be okay. I hope so. All right, verse 18. And I say also unto thee, Jesus is talking in a dialogue. Have you heard the reading with Peter? That thou art Peter. You spell, if you were reading this in the language in which was written, Peter is written and ending in an A. You are a Petra, in a small rock. When you go to the Carmel on the beach, you find little pebbles, you call, all right? And that's how the name is. Thou art Petra. And upon this rock, and now the word is Petros, which means a giant rock, okay, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thank you, my brother. Now, what rock is Jesus talking about? He's talking about a rock as building the church upon a man, or building a church upon a rock that is greater than mankind. What rock he's talking about? Now, we need to go back to Israel and find out what rock God has in mind there for Israel. Then we need to come back and see in the church what rock Jesus really meant. And then we need to look into the Bible and see what the word rock really means to you and to me, because it could be a blessing, or that rock could be also, as the King James mentioned, in a stumbling block and sending you to hell. So we need to be careful when we talk about rock. And so we're going to do a very deep study of that rock. And it is my hope that your life is founded, grounded, and placed upon a rock that is greater than man. Now, number one, on this rock, Israel was built. As the first point I want you to focus on. On this rock, the rock that Jesus is talking about, the nation of Israel, our fathers in the faith, on this rock, the nation was built. If you move your Bible to Numbers, to chapter 20 and verse 11, page 103. And by the way, we mentioned the page number of the Bible that is in the pew for those who are not familiar with some scriptures of the Old Testament. Becomes very handy. Page 103, number chapter 20 and verse 11. And I want to bring in your history to the place where Israel now is out of Egypt, is on the marching on orders. Israel is moving on, but they were thirsty. And then they come to a rock, and Moses lift up his hands at the scripture in Numbers 20, verse 11, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also. So in the historical event of Israel life, they came to a point where thirst was the measure issue And they were complaining to the leader, Moses. They were saying, why you took us out of Egypt? At least we have water. They forgot they were slaves. And so they complained so much to the leader that the leader reached that particular rock where they were standing. And rather than hitting the rock once, he did it twice. And in that is a message apart from this message. But one thing the Bible tells us in Numbers 20, verse 11, that and water came out abundantly. As you learn today in Sunday school in Romans 15, and in verse 4, the two things written in the Old Testament, they are written for our instruction in order that we may gain hope, said that verse 4. And so whatever you see in the Old Testament, every verse, every word of Israel in the Old Testament have a message of hope for today. Now, what's the message of hope of that Numbers 20, verse 11, when Moses make that gross mistake for which he paid with his life, and he hit the rock twice? Why? Turn your Bible now to the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and in verse 4, and that will bring you to page 675 in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And then the Apostle Paul, who was in his scholar of Israel, remember he was a Pharisee, he was a remarkable theologian. He, by the inspiration of God, gave us the understanding of Numbers chapter 20. In verse 4, of the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, we read, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was, what the scripture said? Christ. That rock of Numbers chapter 20 and verse 11 was a picture of Christ Jesus, which will give us abundant water of life. And remember what Jesus said in John 4 to the women of Samaria when she was in need of water. Remember this story in Sunday school class? The woman was trying to get water from the well, and there was no water. And Jesus said to her, if you knew who will who's talking to you, you will ask him waters of living life. And Jesus blessed that woman with that water. And so the rock of the Old Testament, the rock where you see that word rock through the Old Testament, where Israel have been blessed, where Israel has been touched, where Israel have been really evolved through the history of Israel, that rock is always a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church, if you bring those words to the Old Testament, and you said that rock was a blessing to the people of Israel, that rock is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's bring the issue to the New Testament. Cross the line of the cross. As you know, the Bible has two major divisions. The Old Testament before the cross of Calvary, and the New Testament now after the cross of Calvary. And here it is, my second point. On this rock, the church is being built. On the rock of Jesus was Israel built. And now when we talk about the New Testament, on this rock, the church is being built. If you go to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, clearly said, and I also say unto thee, thou art Petra. You are in a small little rock. You are part of that movement that I will use to start the church and move on the church. Peter never assumed priority among the elders of the church. Peter never said that he was the chief elder of the church. If you have one hand in Matthew's, just move your Bible with me to 1 Peter, and you will see in chapter 5 what Peter thought of himself when he talked to the other disciples and elders in the church. In 1 Peter, in chapter 5 and in verse 1, the Bible says that Peter is speaking, "The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder." He used the word, the Greek word, episkopos. Episkopos means, epi means above, on the top of. All right? And episkopos is a supervisor. And he said, "I'm just a supervisor of the church as you are." It's just clear, his testimony, it's his own words. As a matter of fact, if you move your eyes in 1 Peter 5 to verse 4, he said, "And when the chief shepherd shall come," he's not making a reference about himself. He's making a reference about Jesus. "And when the chief shepherd shall come, he will give you the crown of glory." And so, therefore, Matthew chapter 16, going back over there to verse 18, Jesus said, "You are Petra, you are an instrument in the hands of God, but upon this giant rock, I will build my church." Now, I wonder how the other disciples understood this. You know, Peter was not the only disciples. We have a giant man, 25% of the New Testaments were written by him, that's Paul. And what did he say about who is the key of the church? If you have read books and commentaries, you knew that Paul had a very difficult time with the church of Corinth. And as you read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you see that Paul was hurt by the church because the church really did not respect the opinion of Paul. And he had that kind of difficulties. But Paul never expressed difficulties with respect to who is the authority in the church. But rather, in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, page 689, he gave us the clue who was the one that he thought is the rock, is the key, is the fundamental stone of our faith. Let's go over there. First, in Ephesians chapter 2, and in verse 20, and 21 and 22, page 689. Look at what Paul says. "Having been built," that's a passive verb. I don't know if your translation carry that, but "having been built." We are no building ourselves a church. If we are building ourselves a church, we are on the wrong track. Nobody can get into the church, the real church, by himself. They had to be moved by God, had to be placed by the Holy Spirit, had to be a conversion of the soul. You do not become part of the church when you get baptized as a baby. That will not place you into the church. Rather, as 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 says, is when the Holy Spirit plays you into the church. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of sin, when you become aware that you're a sinner, when you plead to God for salvation in the name of Jesus, and you ask Jesus to save your life, then there is an experience in your life. And that's the moment you become part of the church. So that's why the Bible says, having been built. We have no part on the building, but there is a master architect who is making the building. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophet. Jesus Christ himself being the, what? Chief cornerstone. So the Bible clearly testified to us that the use of the word stone at Matthew 16:18, rather than corresponding to mankind as the founder of the church, that word refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's very clear, verse 21, and whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, that's a very important, tremendous point. It's not a point for argument. It's not a point to say to some people, well, if you think that Peter is the founder and so on, you are wrong. That's not the idea. The idea that I'm speaking today about the rock to you as a gift is that God has given Israel a gift to refer to. And always God used a rock, a giant rock, to help Israel in different situations of life, pointing out that your life and my life is need to have a greater foundation than mankind. You hear the news, they found a little box, which I think is an imposture, you know, somebody who really fix it, a little box. And they have the courage. I wrote about 10 emails already to the CBS and BBC. They have the courage to say, an open television, that looks like it, that Jesus was here on earth. And when I hear it, I thought it was my English, I couldn't understand. But the guy helped me. He repeated. He said that that box will prove that Jesus was here on earth. Where the records in Rome will prove that Jesus was here on earth. Luke chapter 2 said that when, remember, always government want from you what? Money. Taxes. So it's no change. And the Roman Empire, in order to control the people, he taxed the people very high. When the government want to control you, he raised the taxes. And then you have no money and control you. Take away your guns, and then you cannot defend you. Well, the governments are smart. But I tell you, the Bible said that the Roman Empire decree a census so they can tax the people. And who is coming from Egypt? Joseph and Mary. And it's all registered. And they said that that little box, that somebody fixed it, they said that that little box is the only proof. And the announcer was making a drama. He said, imagine they transferred these to Canada and was damaged. The only proof the Christian had that Jesus was here. Well, he's really crazy. What about the Word of God? What about the Word of God? Remember what the story in Luke 16, when Lazarus and the rich man, he died and he was in hell. And he is a parable. And so he's saying to one another, please, I have more brothers on this earth. Will you go down and tell those people? Because he said, if somebody will resurrect from the dead, they're going to believe. And what the parable said, he said, no, they have who? Look at that. They have Moses and the prophets and the law. He said, they're going to believe because they have the Word of God. You see? And the Word of God will cause you to believe. All right? So here we are, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. But there is a previous sentence that people use to say, no, it's not. The church is not built upon Jesus as the stone. They need to be built upon humanity. Look at what the verse says. And let's look at it again. Verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So what is that? Oh, we have to look on it. What is that? The foundation of the prophets and the apostles. Well, who the apostles and the prophets represent. That's the key. And the answer is in Hebrews, in chapter 1, page 704. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Who are the apostles and the prophets? Who are they representatives of? Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Look at what the Bible says. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, verse 2 now, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son who he hath. And so therefore, the past, the prophets and the apostles were the one who wrote the instruction that we have for our own edification. We are built our life of faith to believe in Christ, our life of being holy with Christ on the written word of God that was given to the apostles and given to the prophets. If you don't believe me, let me show you how the church of Thessalonica was built. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, page 696. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. And you will see that the church of the living God was never built upon what a man said, but upon what the whole word of God really said. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Paul is testifying about this church. And Paul says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye, look at how carefully he says, when ye receive the word of God which ye heard of us, ye receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You know what that effectually means? we have in the catechism a doctrine of effectual believing. In other words, the word of God will produce an effect in your life when you believe it. It's not when you read it. You can read book of history, you can read book of science, and until you believe it, will not produce an effect on you. And that's what Paul says. Paul said, you people are built because you receive the word of the apostles, not as the word of man, but you receive the word of the apostles as the word of God. And so when Ephesians 2:20 said, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophet, is saying your life is being built upon the word of God entirely from the Old Testament and the New Testament. The whole word of God becomes the building block of your life. But the foundation of that word of God, says Ephesians 2, and clearly in verse 20, is Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We do here in our church, and we are almost to the end now, to a series of studies of Christ in the Old Testament. And we saw Christ Jesus in every book of the Bible. The next, God's willing, the coming Sunday will be on the book of Haggai, the great preacher. In every book of the Bible, I see that rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible is entirely about the Lord Jesus. Let me show it to you. Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10. Go to the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 and in verse 7. And you will see the Bible that you have is a book concerning about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the cornerstone. Now, the building blocks are the writing of the apostles. And so we read in chapter 10, verse 7, then I said, lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will of God. Look at how carefully God wrote this. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. From the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, we have the written word of God about Christ, not about man. Man were used in the writing, and man, as Ephesians says, they were the foundation, the apostles and the prophet. We need to start somewhere, and we start with the Old Testament and follow with the New Testament, and you put the two together, and then you have the tools, but the foundation, the rock where we stand is Christ, Christ Jesus. The foundation is the Word of God, said the vision. But the cornerstone where that Word of God stands is the Lord Jesus Christ. You take Jesus Christ out of the Word of God, it is not a book of any validity. Makes no sense whatsoever. Makes no sense whatsoever. Well, people said in philosophy classes, they said in college, the holy writings of the Old Testament. Well, you know they are holy because they are talking about the stone. But they don't mean that. They mean where they are holy writings because they are writings from all time. And so remember what 1 Corinthians said? People are always seeking for a sign. People are seeking for a sign. The Greek are seeking for mighty thoughts of philosophy. But the Jews are seeking for a sign. And the only sign that we have is that Jesus Christ died, and that he was buried, and that he was resurrected. That's the only sign we have. That is the foundation of the Word of God. All right? So you got on this rock, the Israel was built on this rock. The church is being built, but also I want to call your attention that on this rock, your life is being built. Your life is being built. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, page 564. On this rock, your life is being built. You know the story. We even have songs in Sunday school about this. Jesus says, therefore, whosoever hear this saying of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Again, Jesus using that word. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Thus, if your life is founded in the Word of God, your life is founded upon the rock. And you know, all of these saying of Jesus, and the rain descended, and all these the flood came and the wind blew. These are great reference to our life. I never know yet, even though I'm 66 years old, anybody who said, well, I never had trouble in my life. I live a life so sweet, I never had difficulties. Never have a problem with anybody. I remember I was 17 years old when I started playing soccer. At 17 and a half, I walked in a stadium full of people. And boy, you know, you at 17, you want to play. That's what I want. I don't know why I was there. I guess I catch the ball with my hand well. But I want to play. But man, they went to my mother and said, okay, here's the salary, here's the insurance, here's this. And I don't care. I live in a home my daddy provides. I don't give the money to my mother. Thank God. But you know, there were hundreds of people for that position. They envy you to anger. And they will do anything to get you down. I was indifferent to them. Because I was there because they placed me there. When you go to work, there are some people who want your job. In other words, there is a... life is not easy. It's not a garden of roses, said my father. And you go to work and you have difficulties either with the plan you want to do or with the people around you. People said, I have difficulties in my marriage. Well, tell me, what marriage have no difficulties? There are two people trying to blend themselves in one. It is difficult. And it happened to be that one is a man and the other is a woman who think way different. And God said that he's perfect. This is Christ in the church. And so they had to work. Life is difficult. And so Jesus said, when you are founded on the rock, Christ Jesus, all these difficulties comes in marriage. All the most difficult times of life comes in marriage, but will not destroy that marriage because they are founded on the rock. It was not a rock, then gone. You lose your job, and many of you have experienced this here in this church, including this pastor on June, all right? I lose my second job. And if you are not founded in Christ Jesus, you go bananas. Somebody told me this. Are you ready to sue? He said, what is that? I said, to bring this station to court, you're going to get millions of dollars. Get a doctor. For what? He said, they fire you. Well, the only word that came out of my mouth, and I say it today in Sunday school class, were these. I'm thankful for 29 years of service. I'm thankful to God, and I'm thankful to the man who gave me the opportunity. If that man who gave me the opportunity fired me, it's his choice. Don't worry about it. So really? Yeah. But if I was not founded on the rock, and my life was founded on... Oh, I don't have the wallet, but my wife had the wallet. But if I was founded on the green paper, if your life is founded on the green paper, man, oh man, then you say, all right, and you look and you spend the rest of your life in anger and intention rather than being used of God. You see, your life is being built upon the rock. And when those difficulties come to you, here's my brother Ramil. Remember, it was a year ago you had the accident with the Alfa Romeo. I thought it was the best car of the world because it was an Italian car and blew up and almost my brother died. His wife waiting for a baby. You know, and if his life was not founded on the rock, he will fall apart. And you will waste your time and doing all kinds of things wrong. See, your life is being built in those difficult times. And you take the latest in our life, my daughter's crisis. And I was just quit doing everything, took my car, and we sit down as a family around a circle, and we talk together about the things of God and what God is doing in our life. And we thank God that this is the first time Daniel's family and Midian's family and Daniel and Midian, we see them right there, and we all question them about that. What about this? What about the? I question my daughter and my son-in-law to see if there's any secret sin that happened. And when all was clear, then we nail down and pray. 3 weeks later, a homeopathic doctor found the formula for balancing their chemicals, and my daughter's on the way out. And you say, why 8 months of chaos? Mama going over there and so on to build us strong. And to give us an idea that family care. Where we learn this? In the book, fellas. You don't learn in philosophy that family care. You learn in the book. And together. And some of the people said, it's amazing the in-laws get together. What? It's amazing the in-laws get along. What? See, they don't have the rock on it. And when you don't have the rock... the guy is against his mother-in-law, and these in-laws are against the other in-laws, and see, they have nothing to talk about except to fight. Listen, your life must be empty if you do not have a rock. Upon this rock, life is being built. And the rain may come, and the flood may come, but if your life is upon the rock, you will stand. Now, it would be proper to me not to tell you only the good part, but I have to make you a warning. And that's number four. Upon this rock, your life can be damaged forever. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8. Page 714. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Upon this rock, your life can be damaged forever. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. If you knew that Greek word, it's just who makes you so happy. He's precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone, verse 8, and a stone of a stumbling block and a rock of offense. They stumbled being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. In other words, if you go to the word of God and you say, oh, this is not the word of God, this is all baloney, who cares about the word of God? Who cares about Jesus? That stone who is the strong part of the building becomes the stone upon your head. And you are damaged forever. And in the day of judgment, you will be judged and destroyed forever. So the stone can be either a blessing or can be the stumbling block that will send you to hell. You say, that's right? That's right. See, it's not homosexuality that sends you to hell. It's unbelief that sends you to hell. Homosexuality is one of the sins that express our nature. But it's unbelief that sends you to hell. In John chapter 16, verse 8, said, God has sent the Holy Spirit to convict you of sin because of unbelief. If God will not send the Holy Spirit, no one will be convicted of sin. But God in mercy sent us the Holy Spirit so that our life become aware of who we are and become aware of what is the stone in which I'm going to stand. But if you're still saying, I care less about Jesus, I care less about the Bible, I care less about this business of religion, they tell me, then I tell you, the stone that we talk so much, the stone that is so beautiful, becomes a stumbling block, and then in hell, you want to spend your life, because in the day of judgment, the question is, what you have done with Jesus? No one will show up alive. We have nothing to show. The Bible said we are like filthy rags. But what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? Let me conclude by saying this. If you look in Psalm 18 and in verse 2, there is a man there that built his life upon the rock. And if you read the entire book of Psalms, 5 Psalms a day, will give you the reading of one, in 1 month you swing the whole book of Psalms. Just read 5 Psalms a day. In Psalm 18, and in verse 2, David gave testimony. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. Wait a minute, David, are you no king? Are you not the one who took 13 square miles of territory and turned 6,580 miles of territory to your son Solomon? Are you not the mighty man that faced a lion and goodbye? Are you not the man who faced Goliath and has smelled a little stone, you know, zoop, boom, gone? Are you not that man great? He said, no, look in verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. That's the difference. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And those who are from the east know what a high tower is. First thing Israel did now when he, you watch on television, built a fence between Jerusalem and Palestine. They put a tower in the corner, the high tower to watch. The Lord is. And so David's in heaven. And in spite of his sin, remember, he committed adultery. He killed as a criminal. And in spite of his sin, he's in heaven today because the Lord is his rock. If you look in Romans 9 and in verse 33, the Apostle Paul said these words, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, and rock of offense, and whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. That's the difference, my friend. That is the difference. It's either you believe in him or you are smashed in pieces by that rock. And so today, we celebrate the Lord's Supper in our church. And today we are saying with great joy, Lord, thank you for the gift of that stone. What were the years that the 49ers were very good? It was, 88 or 87 or something like that. Remember, they win, four championships together. Well, you know, the general manager of the 49ers lived here in Morgan Hill across my house. He built his house. He used to come and talk to me and ask me to go and talk to him because I was a soccer player and he wanted to talk to me all the time. And so one time when they win, we saw a big bus. You know, we're living in an area where it's only two ways over there in Holiday Drive, and a big, big giant bus, and neighbors were coming out. And remember, Montana was over there. My daughter was very young, 23, 24. No, she was 20 over there, and Montana right away come to talk to my daughter. And he said, I'm Montana. And I was, oh, fine. I'm Miriam. Who knows? I don't know football. And they called me. They said, come in. So we're going to, I want you to see the team that win. So I went over there, and he said, we want to show you a gift that we gave them. Because $100,000 apiece. I thought it was a check or something. No, it was a ring. And they said, Gabriel, check the stone. Oh, meaning you can look your face on the stone for these guys. That's the championship ring. Look at that. That is a gift. And in my mind came this sermon today. That's where I made this sermon. You know, look in your hand. You have no big stones, but look at it in your heart. Do you have the gift? Look at it in your heart. Do you have that gift? The 49ers, the only thing they can show is a $100,000 stone. But I can show in my heart life eternal is done. Can you show that in your life? Thank you, Father, for the great lesson you gave us today, the gift of the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the rock. He is the stone. And Father, I pray for those who have not yet come to the conclusion, to the acceptance of Christ Jesus as the stone of the life. Lord, I was with them. Soccer was my stone. And I don't know what things are the stone in the life of people. But one thing I pray, Lord, that the same mercy and grace that you give to me, you also will give to people so that they can believe. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Today, this was a soccer game. We are 1-1. One boy first and then a girl now. I want the boys to be active and playing and doing things. So you, Anthony, Jimmy, collect more boys and get here, all right? And Greg, all right. I forgot to look into the deacon board. But will you look on it, who are the deacons? Can you give me that Bible, please?